I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. A name that is far above any other name. Amen. God is good. Just thinking about God here a bit this morning, talking about the faithfulness of God and all that. Just thinking of His mercifulness of Him and His faithfulness, you know, that just warms my heart this morning as I think about the faithfulness and the mercifulness of God and all that He did so that we could be spared from damnation, you know, unto eternal life. All that He done for mankind. This is not my message, but I'm just pondering on that this morning. He says in Luke, He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's who we serve this morning. It's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God. He enjoys it. As I listened to that Esh CD and the other day, and Esh, the one that was preaching that, Leroy, he said he can just see God just can't, so excited. He just can't wait for His children to come home. You just can't wait. You know how that is when our children are going through the day and they come home after we're home later on, we're always excited to see them, always glad for them to be home. And for God, I see it far greater than that. He has us here for a purpose, and He wants the faithful ones that are faithful until the end. It excites Him, and it blesses Him, and He's excited about us coming home. And Joshua says, I will never leave thee. Or in Psalms 118, it says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. And Joshua says, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. And we can find these verses on and on and on. But as children of God, we must remain faithful to God at all costs. If men turn away from God, it's because, I mean, if it's men that turn away from God, it's not God that turns away from us. It's always men that are not faithful. So, praise the Lord. Another verse says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So we serve a merciful, loving God here this morning. This message was so somewhat born from a burden I had. This week, someone showed me a picture of a young boy and a girl. I said, you know who they are? And I said, no, that didn't mean anything to me. He said, you know it. You know them. I said, no, I don't know them. I guess it's been a while since I've seen him, but I know his father well. And they told me who it was. Then I knew who it was. But it would just sort of burden my heart just to see what for state they were in. So my message come somewhat from that. And also as I thought of my family, my children and my grandchildren, it seemed like the generation after generation, it's going to go on from here. The longer the Lord tarries, the generation is going to branch off from Martin and Loretta, from my daughters and their children. It's going to go out. And you do math, you figure out how many generations it takes. If each generation has like 5 children, it don't take long to add up. After many generations, thousands and thousands of children. So my message here this morning, the title is Picking Up and Passing on the Torch, my message. You know, as the relay races, batons, as they race and they take them, and they got certain points to race to, and they race diligently, all they have to that spot to pass it on to that person, and that person takes it and he goes all with all of his heart and he goes to the next place, and they just keep on going, relaying these batons. And I've seen that somewhat as a family here burden as well, that we would continue on passing that on. And I know you just can't take the word of God and just pass it and give it to him and say, this is where you need to be. It don't work. It needs to come from the Word of God. It needs to be spoken. It needs to be lived out. And it needs to be alive. So I don't know where I was looking just for a text to read to start my message, and I couldn't find a better one than Isaiah 53. Read a few verses there out of there just for a text before I go on here. But first of all, let's pray. I feel a desire and a need to pray here, so let's pray. Eternal Father, as we do bow here this time, I just want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, your faithfulness, Lord, that was spoke about today, your love toward all your children. Lord, we know that many are called, but few are chosen. But we know that your wrath of God will come upon the disobedient and gainsayers and the wicked and all that. It's because they chose not to follow you. So Lord, we just want to thank you as a congregation here this morning that the word of God was quickened in the hearts that we can believe the word of God. And it says, without faith it's impossible to believe him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder. You are a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. So Lord, thank you that we can continue on diligently seeking you, Father, in a deeper way. So today I just pray that you would bless the few words I have to share here, Lord, today. That you would inspire, you would anoint, and just bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So just a little bit on passing on the torch here. Passing on the faithfulness here. It says in Isaiah, I know that there's other ones I could have used there in the Gospels, but I just felt a desire to read this. For he should grow up, in verse 2, for he should grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As we hid it with our faces from him, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet he did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Talking about, if you can take a little parallel out of that, wounded for our transgressions. That was for us, passing on what he was supposed to pass on. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And he continued on. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep had gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. And yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generations? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Make his soul an offering for whose sin? For sin, it says, for our sin. His seed, you shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, nor the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteousness servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare his sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And I know I could have took other disciples, but I just thought, think about what a better one, Jesus, that as he took the torch, picked it up, and went on to death to pass it on to all mankind, that whoever may come, come. Whoever will come, may come. So as I just read that, and here, just as I said, I have a burden for the church. Mainly it was born from that photo that I had, that the fire would continue to burn into a generation, from years to years and years to come. I'm going to do a little talk, just some sharing in my heart here a little bit, and I got a lot of verses here at the end just to read off, but One more verse here. A few more verses I want to read, then I want to share. I'll share some things with all my heart. one has it, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter open, and the sheep hear his voice, and he called him by his sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. As a stranger will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that come before me are thieves and robbers. So I just read that, is that my heart is that we would be instrumental to our children and grandchildren, that they would know who we are. I mean, we would be an example, that they could look at us and want what God would have for them. That we would, as Jesus says, that people know my voice and they follow me. May we be examples. First of all, us as fathers, we need to have that. Torch burning, so the children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews, whoever it may be, may want what we have. And as we've seen through down the history, as fires begun, you know, and Christ being testified, Jesus being lifted up, and lives being changed, and men and women being born again for years and years, then the lights flicker. And you know, you ponder that. The lights flicker, and then they go out. You think of the early church, you know, I'm talking about the disciples and the Moravians, and then the Anabaptists, which we are all familiar with, you know, the most. As I seen the light that was gone, they were passing the torch from one to one, and they could not. The chief priests and all those the Jews or the Catholics, all of them, the more they tried to put out that fire, the greater it burned. And that is my heart here as well, that this church here would not flicker and go out. And we see that as they went, and they were being they were being took to the cross, and they were being burned, not to the cross, to the stake, and being burned. They were thrown into the rivers and all that. And yet, as they did that, the fire kept burning brighter. And I remember reading the fire in Zurich Hills there, as some of them are at the fire, and they're being the fire being lit, and the father look over to his son and say, "It's okay, I'm okay. Just remain faithful, my son." And the son, he was okay with that. He went on. I think he was that one I was thinking of was like 13, 14 years old. It wasn't very long at all. That son was took to the stake. Or no, he was, I'm not sure about the stake, or he was drowned, or somehow he was killed. But talking about passing on the torch, our children know what God would have for them. Then we see that as they started to flee persecution, and they started moving to America, they started relaxing. Started making their homes and making money, and prosperity crept in. So that all sounds so familiar with it being, you know, as we were being excommunicated and thrown out of the church that we were once in. I remember being excommunicated. You know, talking about, first of all, I'll finish that thought I had there. As long as there was a fire or persecution, whatever, that seemed like the fire burnt. But when the enemy seen that, the more he pursued them, the greater the fire burned. So he backed off. And we've seen that by doing that, people started relaxing. And it sort of shook my heart when I read that. You know, think about relaxing. What are we being chased from? What are we being persecuted from? But I remember being excommunicated, and I felt so alone that day, that night. When they excommunicated me, it seemed like I was hung out there to dry. But one thing it did cause me to do, it caused me to seek God in a greater way. And with that time, you know, being excommunicated, my mom and dad were being pulled from me, and my job was in jeopardy, and a lot of things were looking to me like, okay, what am I going to do? But what it did to me, it caused me to seek God in a deeper way. And I can say that them were some of the most precious times in my life. I can say it was. It seemed like this when I was closest to God. Am I close to God today? Yes, but it just seemed like them times. It was just seemed like extra precious. So we see when the forefathers, you know, when they fled and persecution stopped, the fire slowly went out. The sad thing is, it seems like a fire can go out and church and not even realize it. Then it goes on for generations and generations. You think of our forefathers. I don't know when was that they moved over here. Was it 1800s or whatever? But as I look back through my generations, my dad and my grandpa and his grandpa and all that, I don't see a revival. I don't remember a revival happening or anyone a revival burning. And I'm not blaming that on my dad. I'm just saying it seemed like when the fire goes out, it seemed like he allows it to go on for generations for the curse of man. It seemed like it went from when they moved over here and it went out, and it seemed like just in our little circle here, you know, it was no fires burning until, I mean, the revival didn't start until about 20 years ago. So it went hundreds of years past before God sparked another little spark of revival. Then God spoke another flame here. I think of that here. You know, there's another little flame that came up, and people began getting born again here and burn. And as we're here today, I just wrote down here, you know, we've seen throughout the history as revivals burn, then they go out. Revivals burn, then they go out. And I just wrote here, you know, What are some cautions that we can take? Anybody have any? What are some cautions that we could take as a congregation here to not have this fire, this what's burning, to go out? If anybody wants to share anything, I'll give them a moment to raise their hand and just share anything in your heart. It's a real thing, you know. And I'm not preaching this for condemnation. I'm just saying, as we see from history to history, you know, we know that as long as man, as a man keeps his heart turned toward God, or you know, a relationship with Jesus, the fire won't go out. But we see through the history as generation a father that loves the Lord with all of his heart. He has a passion, a burden for souls, and we see the son. You know, he still reads his Bible and he goes to church, but yet the burden of lost souls is not in his son. Then we see his son. You know, all of a sudden, yes, he goes to church, but he dresses differently, and it seemed like you could see what causes that, and that is my burden today, that we would not see that here. I wouldn't see the difference in Jaden, and I wouldn't see then Jaden has some children. I wouldn't see Jaden's son hair all poofed up and a bill hat on sideways or whatever it may be, but yet he claims to love the Lord. You know, what causes that? What can we caution against that? Anyone? How can we pass on the torch? How can we keep that fire going from generation to generation? This way, people have to look back and say, "Oh, yeah, that church in Allen County, yeah, they were one time, man. They were out witnessing, and they had a fire burning. They would go out and they would share. No matter where they was at, they'd go into parties and they would share the gospel, and they had a burden. They would cry when they talked to them." But yeah, but 40 years later, look at them now. You know, yeah. Go ahead, Steve. Yeah, amen. First love. So passing on the torch. Just want to read a little bit here on the history of the Olympic torch relays. And I heard a message similar to this. Not similar, but I heard a message preached by, this was years ago. I had it sent to me the other day again, but I didn't listen to it. Paul Hershberger on passing on the torch. But here it says that of the the modern torch relay history. The Olympic flame first began at a tradition of the modern Olympic Games When an Olympic flame was lit and remained burning at the entrance to the Olympic Stadium throughout the 1928 Amsterdam Games. And it's burning. They took this torch and they took it from city to city, understood, throughout the whole all the games. The lighting of the flame captured the public's imagination and has remained a traditional ceremony for the opening ceremony of all the games. In July 20th, 1936, a young Greek became the first runner in the history of the modern Olympic torch relay. He left Olympia torch in his hand, launching a tradition that had become the integral component of each Olympic Games. Technically, the torch relay does not represent the passing of a torch, but it celebrates the passing of the sacred flame from one torch to the next, from city to city. The Olympic flame symbolizes the light of the spirit. Look at that, just the flame here. It symbolizes the light of the spirit, knowledge and life, by passing the flame from one person to another in stages. The torch relay exposes the handling down of the symbolic fire from generation to generation. This is the torch of the Olympic, just on the Olympics. But I thought it was interesting. You know, it's a symbolic by passing the flame from one person to another in stages. The Olympic flame symbolizes the light of the Spirit. So it expresses the handing down in a symbolic fire from generation to generation. So that is a courage that we could also take this torch, the fire that we have burning, and pass it down from generation to generation. And I just wrote, am I carrying this torch? Is it burning bright? When I say I'm passing on the torch, we can't force anyone to take it. We know that. But we can be so full of Jesus Christ that he's flowing from us so that others would want what we have. We could be burning bright with that light of Jesus in us. And I don't want to be a fault that the torch goes out in my son's walk. You know, as they carried this torch from one city to the other city, they were really, really careful. They did not want this torch to go out while it was in their hand. So, I mean, they were careful with it. They took this torch and, yes, they shielded the wind from it, but they wanted to, yeah, they had to get it there in a certain amount of time, if I understand that right. And so they went with carefulness. So they didn't want this torch because it was important that it did not go out. And how much more today should we carry this torch, this light, and pass it on? You know, we don't want the light to go out. I don't want the light to go out in my hand and cause my son to go wayward or whatever it may be. May we carefully pick up the torch and walk in a life that's pleasing to God. Pass it on. Just not pass it on to them, but yet he would have enough of the light, the truth, and the love of God, the burden to pass it on to his children. And the generation after generation, it goes on. Here are just a few verses. Yes, you know, Steve talked about keeping that first love and not being entangled in the affairs of this life, not getting caught up in the worldly affairs, whatever it may be. And here I just want to read Hebrews 13. Here in the topping, it caught my mind. It says, a service well-pleasing to God. The first verse, it says, let brotherly love continue. Be careful not to entertain strangers. And I read that verse, it's not... Be careful not to entertain strangers. It means it's to be about caring about others. Thereby, some have entertained angels unawares. Remember that they are in bonds. As much as they in bonds with them, they have, which suffer adversity of being ourselves also in the body. Then I'm just going to skip a few verses. It says in 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, which blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp bearing reproach. For we have no continuing city but we seek one to come. Let's not make this our home, but we're seeking to one to come. We have no continuing city. If we make this our home, our children will make it our home, and they won't see that city that we're seeking. That light will go out right there. But if they know that we're seeking a city that is to come, they're going to be seeking that as well. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for which sacrifice as God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourselves for they which are for your souls, and they must give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Just it talks about the last verse, just submitting yourself unto whoever has authority over you. Not being about yourself, just being about the kingdom of God. John 8:12 says, Jesus says, I am the light of this world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but be the light of life. Being that light, to be that light, we need to have that torch, the torch burning, if I can say it like that, just in this message here. I think I have one more verse here in John 8, just symbolizing the torch. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. then answer them, we are Abraham's seed, and we never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, thou shalt be made free? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is the servant. And who the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If thy son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Just being free in Christ. So here we back to the burden. We see in the early church, the more they persecuted, the greater the fire. That was talking about the disciples. Then we see the Anabaptists, the fire in Zurich Hills. The more men and women were killed, the greater the revival. And it seemed like as the revival continued, the persecution, the greater it was, the greater the revival. And it just brings me up to the point here. What fire are we going through today? When I ponder that, it's like the soberness crept in my heart. When we think about the fires that burn out, it seems like that's when people start to relax. So my question, what fires are we going through today? For what needs do we have? We live in America. We're in a land of the land of plenty. The land that there's no need of God. Let alone need of money. There's no need of food. It's just plentiful. As I pondered that, my heart, the soberness struck in my heart. But I'm going to share a few things on that. I have a few verses wrote down here. I want to share first. There are needs. There's a fire burning. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. It's just telling us to put on the whole armor of God, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer, supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of all saints. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So as I read this, it's the whole armor. We need to put on the whole armor of God. For where we're at today, you think about that. The onslaught of wickedness that we are facing. The evil that is around us. There's many, many things that we can name. But I'm just going to mention two here. Just a few. Just the homosexuality. I mean, the power and the rights that they're gaining is amazing. I mean, they seem like they have more rights than we do. If you're caught speaking out against them, you could get in trouble. Just the ungodliness that's there. You see that thing rising. Then I think of abortion. Millions and millions of people around us are being killed daily. I even heard, you know, there's some Anabaptist people here in Fort Wayne that were seen going into abortion clinics. Amazing. And you can abort up to 24 weeks old. Up to 24 weeks. And I seen a little documentary on that last week. Boy, that struck my heart. How this babies were, you could see the whole form of that baby moving and kicking in arms, and that thing was fighting, trying to get away. That's the documentary they showed. It was fighting to get away, and all of a sudden, it's gone. And it showed going up into something and being completely ground up. You think about that. I know it's disgusting to talk about, but the evil that's here, that's just two of them out of the hundreds that we're facing. Are we gonna equip our children to see, you know, when they come up to a point, older, abortion, they said it's not sin. Long as it's under 24 weeks old, it should be okay. See the battle we're facing? Are we going to be able to equip them and pass on the torch that they can call sin, sin, when they're older? Just maybe not a children we have now, but maybe they're your grandchildren. And I trust that I'm not adding any condemnation. Just a burden, something that's real, that's happening. As we've seen lights burn and the lights flicker and go out, and then years, 100 years down later, the another flame will come and seem like that'll go out. Now, think of that. We don't want this church. We don't want I don't want my family tree. And I know every one of you don't want your family tree to ever flicker and go out spiritually. It could be hundreds of years, who knows, before God comes and kindles another flame in that tree and in that generation. Need it. When we battle ourselves, we want to our children to call sin, sin, to be overcomers. We need to be picking up the torch high and keep it burning. Another thing that I just read, you know, this is a sobering thing to keep it burning. And I think that we probably failed in a few areas already in technology. I seen last week where there's a company making it mandatory to use chips. And they're actually not mandatory, I'll take it back. They were trying to force it to be mandatory. And they got turned down this time. But actually cutting a little slice in their hand, putting a little chip in. And my heart is, my thought is, what does that mean to us? Is that just a part of this technology in this world? Or do we call that sin? I don't know. What do you want to, however you want to call that, but just what do we see that as? You know, we can think, oh yeah, they got chips in phones and they got chips in their computers and all that. But how do we see that implanting a chip into a body? Well, how will our children? How will they take that? What will we tell them? Or is it just a part of technology? I see it further than that. I see it as becoming evil. It could be a part of the mark of the beast. And it talks about in the hands and the foreheads. I don't know. But my burden is that we would pass the torch on to our children. Because we are coming to a time that is waxing worse and worse. And with that, I just want to read Matthew 24, just a few, some verses here. The destruction of the temple and the signs before the inn. I was going to read a little. I'll read a little story on that. I forgot about the company embeds the microchips in employees, and they love it. Pepper, while he's at work, he pays for it with a wave of his hand. McMullen has a microchip between his thumb and his forefingers, and the vending machines immediately deducts money from his account at his office. He's one of the dozens of employees who have been doing likewise for a year now. McMullen is the president of the Three Square Market, a technology company that provides self-service mini markets to hospitals, hotels, company break rooms. Last August, he became one of the roughly 50 employees at headquarters in 50 employees at a headquarters in River Falls, Wisconsin, who volunteered to have a chip injected into their hand. The idea came early in about 2017. It says when he was on a business trip to Sweden, a country where some people are getting subconsciously microchips to do things like entering secure buildings or book train tickets, or one of the few places where we chip implants. While we have been around for quite a while, we have taken off some fashions. The chip he and employees are about the size of a large grain of rice. They're intended to make a life a little easier, to do things like get into the office, log into computers, and buy food and drinks in the company cafeteria. Like many RFID chips, they are passive. They don't have batteries. Instead, they get power from RFID reader when it requests data from the chip. The McMullen chip includes identification, information to grant him access to the building, as well as some basic medical information. For instance, a year into the experience, McMullen had a few employees say they are still using the chips regularly at work and all their activities they started out with last summer. Since then, additional 30 employees have gotten the chips, which means roughly 80 of his 250 employees. It's easy to get used to, McMullen says. As far as he knows, just 2-3 Square Market employees had their chips removed. That's when they quit the company. So it goes on and on and on here. So you see that. We often see the mark of the beast, whatever that may be, to buy or sell. You need to have that. Could be that. I'm just a warning, caution. Just trust that we just don't see that some of those things just as it's just part of technology. I see it deeper than that. The destruction at the end of times. In verse 1 here in Matthew 24, it talks about all the things that are going to happen. And just look at some of the things that we're reading and it's happening. Verse 2, and Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, these shall not be left one here, one stone on another. They shall be thrown down." And he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of the coming and the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes, divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows, and they shall be delivered into a... Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many of the offended, and shall destroy one another, and shall hate one another, and all many false prophets shall rise, and many shall deceive one another. And because iniquities shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Think of that. Because of the iniquity shall bound, the love of many shall wax cold. Think about that. Torches going out. Fires going out because of the love for iniquity. Think about it. When you fill your heart with all the things that this earth has to offer you, and with all the entertainment and the luxuries and all that, you fill that with you, there's going to be no room for Christ. "But he that endures until the end, the same shall be saved." So that's the hope for us. If we endure, if we continue to endure until the end, we will be saved. But we need to keep that torch burning, to keep passing on. Just not It's just not for our souls. My burden is just not for me to reach into the kingdom of heaven with a bright torch, but I want my wife, my children, my grandchildren, and nieces and nephews all to walk together with a torch burning bright. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel by the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Just then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are a child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as it was not since the beginning of this world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, these should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened. For the elect's sake of the children of God, he shall shorten their days, so that they would not as well be destroyed. Then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false prophets. There shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it was possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So, talking about facing the time that to come, we're going to be facing. If it's not us, it could be our grandchildren. It'll be someone. It could be us. We're going to be facing the time that we need to know. Have our torches, passing on our torches, and to one another, that we would not be deceived. It says, even if it was possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say to you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass be, there will be the eagles gathered together. Then it talks about immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the Son of Man in heavens, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from all four winds, from the end of the heaven to the other. So we see that there's great. We're going to be facing great times here. I see it soon. And my heart is behind this, that we don't forget the reason that we're born into this life. The reason he's chosen us as a child. He's chosen us as a child of the King. He chose us as a child of a King, that we would not forget the reason. Matthew, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We are the light of the world. If we have that torch burning bright and taking it from city to city, passing it on. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel basket, on a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto them that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Just encouragement. That we let our light so shine before men. And to have our light shine before men, we must be empty of the things of this world. And I'm not saying that we can't work and we can't do certain things, but I'm saying we can't not be engulfed in that where there's no room for any Jesus in us. So I'm going to read some verses here referring to the light. I don't have a long message here. I just have a little bit here, and I'll read some verses. But in Acts 13:47, for the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. He made us light to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles in our life? That we may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellency of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Ephesians 5:8, for at once time you were in darkness, but now you are the light of the world. Walk as children of light. Let's not have the light smeary. Let's not have it dim, flickering. When people see us, they see the light going out. But let's keep that torch burning bright. And that is, keep that torch burning bright is to stay connected with Christ. Be not entangled with the affairs of this life, but being about the business of the Father. And Proverbs even talks about, for the commandments is a lamp and teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. Isaiah, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness, and I will take you by hand and keep you. I will give you a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. And this, knowing the time, that now is the high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let's keep their torch. So we can see. It's like the lamp is the light into my path. The verse says, when the light goes out, we can't see where we're going. The torch goes out, I should say. We can't see where we're going. We'll be walking in darkness and stumbling and end up in a place we don't want to be. Let us walk honestly as a day in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, nor in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. As 1 John 1:7 says, but if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Lights go out. We can't find one another. It's dark. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by putting on my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. I trust that this did not put a, what I shared did not put a spirit of fear, but it encouraged us to clear out the darkness that's in us, that our light can shine brighter. Not of power, of love, but a solemn mind. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou have heard of many among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who should be able to teach others also. And that is part of the passing on the torch, to be able to teach others, being able to share the words of God with others. Thou therefore endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with affairs of his life. It says any man that's a soldier. Now, being a soldier of Jesus Christ, we cannot war. We won't war and entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life, that he may be pleased himself who had chosen him to be a soldier. That he may please himself, you know, rather than who had chosen us to be a soldier. If any man strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. A few more verses here. And I'm done. 2 Timothy 4:1-8. Just talking about passing on the torch here, Paul, as Paul here. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. We know Paul did. He preached the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrines, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelists, make full proof of the ministry. Because Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have kept my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but also unto all those that love his appearing. Now, you probably heard me read these verses many times, but some of the most beautiful verses that you'll find. That when Paul, at the end of life, we still have that torch in our hand, and he says, I'm ready to be offered. There's no darkness nowhere. He's bright. And my departure is at hand. I know it's shortly. I have fought a good fight. Think about that. You hear people say, oh, I hope that I have minutes or time before I die to make things right. But, you know, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord. The righteous judge shall give me on that day. But not only to me, but to all those that love his appearing. And if we have our torch burning and we have our hearts set toward God, the verses right here I want to read here in closing, no one can take that from us, as it says there in John 10. It says, my sheep hear my voice. I'll back up. 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which give them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So just encouragement there. You know, if we're right with God, nobody is going to be able to destroy us. But, you know, if we don't have a lamp burning, God is not able. He's not able to protect us. He won't be able to. I mean, Satan will be able to snatch you, because you're not in the hands of God. So my message is: if you have a torch burning, let's keep it burning. But if you don't have it burning, you need to get it lit. Light it, so we can take these batons and run and pass them on to the next person and be evangelists, as Paul says. In the kingdom of God, to reproof and correction or whatever it may be, that we can be about the Father's business. So, like I said, my burden was born from I seen that young boy, which I know the father well, and as I seen that, it burdened my heart, and that's where it born from. You know, I ponder that. One generation, that's it. I feel the father. I feel that yes, he probably, you know, the fire will try him. But yeah, I feel that. I feel he loves the Lord. But there's some things in his life that we question. But just one generation, his sons and his daughters or his family, are turning from what he taught and what he preached, and they're rebelling and going into the ways of this world. So. This is my burden. And if I said anything wrong or something I didn't say right, I open my life up to you and you can share with me. May God bless you all.